Well, the Blue Jackets are the Blue Jackets, so I thought let's look ahead to the future. Let's start looking at the 2023 draft, and we've got Hadi Kalakesh of Locked On NHL Prospects here today to give us an overview of just how bonkers this draft class is and who the Blue Jackets could look at drafting. That's all coming up today on Locked On Blue Jackets.
Locked On Blue Jackets, your daily podcast on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Blue Jackets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am, as always, your host, Jay Foster, here to bring you news, stories, trials, tribulations, joys, agonies, highs, lows, all of the above, and more about your favorite team and mine, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Before we get started, I want to thank everyone for making this your first listen of the day every day. Locked On Blue Jackets is free and available on all podcast platforms and also over on YouTube. So we've got another great show today. Just a programming note, we recorded this Friday, December 30th. So anything that happens in terms of World Juniors, in terms of prospects between now and then hello from the past. This was recorded a few days ago, but hopefully it's still, if not entirely relevant, then at least mostly relevant. But we're talking about the NHL draft. We're talking about the 2023 draft class and why exactly it is just so bonkers good and who is making it good. So we're talking about Connor Bedard. We're talking about Adam Fantilli. We're talking about Leo Carlson. We're talking about players that could potentially be a Blue Jacket by about mid-June, mid-July. I don't remember when the draft is. It's fine. But I'm just gonna jump straight into my conversation with Hadi because he is much smarter than I am about this sort of thing, and I'll let him talk all about prospects. So I don't know if you guys know this, but the Blue Jackets are probably gonna be picking top five in the draft, which sucks because the team has been really bad this season. But it's also a pretty good thing because this might be one of the best drafts that we've seen. Maybe since I got into hockey in 2013. And we've got Hadi Kalakesh, host of Locked On NHL Prospects. He is here to tell us exactly how exciting this draft is and why Blue Jackets fans shouldn't be too disheartened if they end up missing out on that first overall draft pick. So, Hadi, let's start off with this draft is bonkers. What's up with that?
Oh yeah, I mean that's an understatement. I mean, in my opinion, the entire top 10 has top line upside, and it's the last time we saw that was probably 2015 with the Connor Bedard draft, and it's the Connor McDavid draft rather. Similar names, man. I mean,
Connors, NHL Connors.
It's Connors. It's just Connors are good. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, it's also quite similar at the very top of it. We had McDavid and Eichel. I think this year is really going to be Bedard and Fantilli as the two guys who are sort of in the similar boat. And it's a very similar storyline. I mean, an exceptional status center with generational upside who's playing in the CHL versus an NCAA forward who's just tearing it up in his draft year and, you know, contending for the Hobie Baker. I mean, it's pretty much, you know, the exact same storyline, but the 2023 version. For me, I mean, especially you can see it in this tournament. You can say what you want about Adam Fantilli and his off-puck game, his forechecking game, the fact that he's physically mature and all that. But, I mean, Connor Bedard's Connor Bedard. He's just on a different stratosphere. He's got 14 points in three games. Like, there's no arguing with that. All he needs is 4 points in his next four games. So if he makes the finals of the World Juniors, he'll have played seven games. He just needs a point per game in each of those four games to match Jaromir Jagr in his draft year as the top draft eligible to ever play in the World Juniors. Like, it's just absurd. And that's the thing with Bedard is that you watch him play and you can just see how much more advanced his thought processing is than everyone else. I mean, we talked about that when we were talking about the Blue Jackets prospects and what it's like to, you know, especially with David Juracek, what it would be like for him in the NHL and whether his processing is ready or not. Unless you're Connor Bedard, there's no way you can keep up with the NHL speed, you know, coming out of your draft year. It's so rare for players to be ready mentally for that league in terms of their processing speed. Bedard is. He's still eligible for the next two World Juniors, and he's not going to be at any of them because he's going to be playing top 6 minutes in the NHL. It's just a guarantee. Like, Bedard is next level. You add to that Fantilli in that draft year who, you know, in terms of his tools, there's nothing missing. There's no way he can keep up with Bedard. He still has franchise upside. I think that Fantilli could very well be a franchise center. Then you add Matvei Michkov, who for me has upside maybe a notch under Bedard's, but still has that high end upside. But he has a lot of working out in terms of his habits. He's a very impatient player on the puck. Loves to rush his passes, loves to take shots from everywhere, literally from the corner, you know, near the goal line. He'll try to shoot it off the goalie's head like multiple times a game. And it's kind of frustrating, but the skill set he has, the speed he has, the hands he has, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Then Leo Carlson, just an elite center. I mean, physically, he's ready for the NHL. He's dominating the SHL right now, playing like a true top six center in a men's league. I mean, you just got to love that. Then there's just a list of other guys after that that, for me, in the top 10 would be great options and have top line upside.
Yeah, I keep looking. So obviously last year I was paying, you know, attention to maybe the top 10. This time I'm kind of looking at the top five. So I want to do like an overview of those guys, but I want to talk a little bit first about, you know, the parallels between the McDavid and the Bedard draft. I hadn't considered the Fantilli versus Eichel, but I am wondering, obviously we saw a lot of discourse last year with Shane Wright versus Juraj Slafkovský. And it kind of, I remember there being some similar discourse for McDavid versus Eichel, and I remember seeing some scouts being like, man, maybe Eichel will go first overall. Do you see similar discourse happening this year with, oh, should Fantilli be the first overall, and then everyone's shocked when inevitably Bedard goes first overall, probably to the Anaheim Ducks, because
that's the of course me.
But of course. Like, do you see a similar story? Because I feel like, and this is something I talked about on Locked On Blackhawk, talked about with the host of Locked On Blackhawks on an episode a couple of days ago, is any other year you'd think, you know, Fantilli, Carlson, Michkov, maybe even Zach Benson, legitimate options for that first overall pick in literally any other year.
100%. I'd say there's six or seven players this year that would have gone first overall last year. Like, it's that ridiculous of a draft. But yeah, I've seen a lot of discourse at the start of the year when Fantilli started scoring his butt off in the NCAA as a draft eligible. There started to be a bit of conversation about whether he should be the first overall pick. But this World Juniors has just put that to rest. I don't think, like, if you think that Connor Bedard is not the first overall pick and the best prospect in this draft, you need to give yourself a head shake and a reality check. I mean, he's got 14 points in three games. He's playing technically on the second line for Canada. Fantilli's on the third. And Bedard is just wrecking left and right, you know, beating records. He could get 20 plus points in this World Juniors, which all time would put him in the top 10 for any age in terms of a single tournament performance at the World Juniors. You know, if he gets 21 points, he's in the top 10. And he would be the only 17-year-old in the top 10. The only one. So it's like, there's no questioning the amount of talent that Bedard has. And there has been some conversation at the start of the year, but I think that's quickly died off, especially since the World Juniors. I've always been on the Bedard boat. I don't think anyone's shaking him off at first overall. But this World Juniors is just sort of solidified the gap between him and Fantilli. But the thing is, Fantilli's also sort of distanced the gap between him and Michkov and him and Carlson. Like, those two are one and two, but there's still a significant gap between Bedard and Fantilli. And that just speaks to how good Bedard is. Because Fantilli would probably be a first overall pick if we're even looking at the 2019 draft, which was, you know, Jack Hughes, Cole Caulfield, Trevor Zegras, all those, like, he's probably better than all of them. And he's still not as good as Bedard. Bedard's that good. It's just ridiculous.
Coming up in a minute, I've got more of my conversation with Haddy about the upcoming NHL draft. But first, I've got to tell you about Bet Online, because it's your number one source for sports betting information, stats, news, analysis. You get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college ball to basketball. They've got it all at betonline.net. If you want to put some money on the Blue Jackets winning first overall in the draft lottery, then I bet you could do that at betonline.net too. And if you love sports podcasts, and I'm betting you do because you're listening to Locks on Blue Jackets, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They are the fastest and easiest way to get your betting information. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline is where the game starts. Yeah, I remember because when I started doing draft coverage, it was for the 2020 draft. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting down and talking to a couple of guys and they were like, well, this year is pretty weak. Next year looks better. But it's the year after that that you really have to pay attention to. And, you know, it's the fact that we've been talking about this kid since he was 14 or 15 years old, basically, yep. as, you know, the next one. I guess. And it's just super, super exciting. I don't know that the Blue Jackets are going to be lucky enough to get Bedard. We're still going to talk about him on the show. We're still going to do the official draft coverage is probably going to start on Locked on Blue Jackets in the next week or so, because, I mean, what else is there to talk about? This team is horrible. So we're going to do, you know, full draft profiles on Bedard, despite the fact that I don't know that the Blue Jackets will land him. But I want to talk a little bit more about some of the other guys that we've just kind of mentioned. So we've talked enough about Bedard. What about Adam Fantilli is the most exciting?
For me, it's the complete package. I mean, he's a modern day power forward. You know, most of the reproaches I have towards sort of what I call the traditional power forwards, the Josh Andersons, that style of player, is that they don't really have any playmaking elements. They really just drop the shoulder, drive the net, try to score and have a great shot, which is, you know, it has its merit. But Adam Fantilli is among the best playmakers in this draft as a 6'2", almost 200-pound just beast of a man. He can work the board so well. His physical body positioning, the way that he angles his hips, the way that he uses his hands, the way that he approaches players who have the puck along the boards, it's all just so refined. And that's the thing that I feel distances him from Michkov and Carlson, is just the refinement of his there's a polished sort of package that he has as a player. It's next level, because you see him work, you know, the boards in the NCAA against men, against 20 to 24 year olds who, you know, are playing Division I hockey in the USA. Like they're not bad players, they're not bad defenders. He's just outworking them, outthinking them. His playmaking's good. His shot's really good. It's just, there's so many areas to his game that are refined. And on top of that, he has the hockey sense of an elite player. So when you combine that brain with that speed, with that physicality, and with those puck skills, he just has everything you look for in a center. And again, if it wasn't for Connor Bedard being Connor Bedard, he would be the first overall pick. He's just an outstanding player with franchise upside.
Yeah, it feels like a real good consolation prize.
100%.
To think, and I especially have been thinking about a lot about, man, imagine this time next year and it's Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine with Adam Fantilli in the middle. Oh, like, that just goodness. Feels like, that just feels like a real good time for me personally.
Oh, yeah. I think Gaudreau would be a perfect fit for Fantilli. Like, those two together would just create so much havoc in the offensive zone. I think they'd be on the same level in terms of their thinking. Because again, Fantilli's an elite thinker. You pair him with an elite thinker who's a good playmaker, who can find him in soft ice. Fantilli has a finishing ability to put any pass in the back of the net. It's just, that's just, you know, obviously there's a lot of luck that goes into it. And, you know, unless the Blue Jackets just sell house completely and almost sort of admittedly try to tank, I don't think the odds are that great of them getting the second overall pick. But if they do, it's Fantilli all the way. You put him between Gaudreau and Laine, and that's just your first line for the next 10 years. Like, you're good.
Yeah. No, that's it's a real good concept. I do I'm expecting the Blue Jackets to kind of pick in the 3 to 5, maybe 6, if they do with the typical Blue Jackets thing of going on a late season tear and winning like 8 games in a row, which they love to do to ruin their chances of picking low in the draft lottery. But
for sure,
there's still, like you said, there's still some really good players in that like 3 to 6 range. And the one that is kind of the most intriguing to me is Matvei Michkov, who I feel like has kind of had the Brad Lambert treatment a little bit, because I remember when I first started paying attention to the draft last year, Brad Lambert was like the second overall guy, and he dropped all the way to what,
30th,
yeah, which still feels bonkers to me. I don't know that Michkov's going to drop that far, but he feels like a guy that is going to slowly start sinking down the rankings a little bit, whether it's because of, you know, the whole Russian of it all. There's probably a more sensitive way to phrase that, but I think with the issues that are kind of happening to Russian players at the minute, I believe there's talk of him signing a long-term deal in Russia this year as well, which would obviously keep him in the KHL for an extended period of time. I think teams are a little bit wary of maybe picking him so high, but what can, in a vacuum, what can we expect from a guy like Matvei Michkov?
Well, Michkov, first and foremost, you know, he's signed till 2026 in the KHL right now. He's not going anywhere until the summer of 2026. That's the earliest that he'll be available to an NHL team. So that's already a bit of a turnoff for teams who want sort of immediate involvement, at least in their system, to have control of a guy's future. Like, that's what they're usually looking for in the top three. Like, you want a player who you can guarantee will play NHL games for you. You can't guarantee that with Michkov. There's also obviously the politics of Russia and all that. I think that's those are the reasons why the mainstream reasons why Michkov's sort of slipping down rankings. But there's also the element of, like I mentioned, his impatience. I've never seen this much impatience from a top prospect with this much skill. I mean, he understands that what he's doing isn't going to contribute or translate to NHL results. I mean, shooting from the left corner, like, no matter how good your shot is, it's not at the frequency that he does it. He's just become predictable. And that's an issue that's led him to slip as well, is that, you know, he's not playing in a way that's translatable, but he has so many translatable skills. He's one of the fastest players in this draft, one of the most shifty and elusive players with the puck. He's one of the best finishers in this draft, if not the best finisher, not just from medium range, but also in tight to the net. He's just so good in terms of getting pucks from the boards to close to the net and then finishing in tight. In tight, like close to the net, like 3 feet around the net, he's the best player in this draft. And the thing is, I don't think he's a great fit for Columbus because they've got those two wingers at the top on the top line already locked and loaded. I think if they can't get Fantilli, I think Leo Carlson is the next guy that they go for, because for me, Leo Carlson is sort of Fantilli light. Top line upside, not a franchise center, but he's still got top line upside. But for me, Michkov, if he hits, if he managed to work out his impatience, which affects so many areas of his game, his goal scoring, his passing, his defensive habits, all that are deeply affected by this sort of egregious impatience. But if you solve that one big problem, you might have the highest upside player in this draft after Bedard. So that's the thing with Michkov, is he has a big issue to fix, and I think it takes the right development team to work that out of his game. But the upside with Michkov is tremendous. It's sky high. You might have a generational prospect.
In a minute, I've got more of my conversation with Hadi about some more draft prospects that could be in the top five and some honorable mentions that's coming up next on Locked On Blue Jackets. Yeah, he feels like the highest risk, highest reward
100%
player, kind of in this little group. But you mentioned Leo Carlson, who is a name that has kind of only recently kind of made it into that top 3 to 5 conversation to, I guess, people who don't scout professionally. Because for me, for a long time, it was Bedard, Fantilli, Michkov, and then, you know, a bunch of other names. Mm-hmm. But Leo Carlson, he's making grown men look silly in the Swedish league. He's having a really good World Juniors. He plays center, which is a big plus because I think that's what the Blue Jackets need. More than basically anything is they need a guard, they need a center that can play center full time. I love Kent Johnson. I think Kent Johnson has potential, but I think he's more effective on the wing. What about Leo Carlson is kind of the most exciting for you?
You know, he's a guy with a powerful stride. Like, you watch him skate up the ice and he just looks like a freight train. He doesn't have quick feet, but his stride is so powerful that he can outspeed a lot of players at the SHL level, which is saying something, because Sweden somehow, I don't know what they put in the breakfasts over there, but every single player over there has the best skating I've seen. And he's able to outrace them to pucks. He's able to win body positioning and all that. But that's not even the most impressive part for me. A player with that size and that much strength, a player that heavy, should not have hands like he does. It's just insane. Like, he, the amount of dekes that he's pulled off that I wouldn't even think of as a player, you know, going down the ice against two grown men, you know, defending you, is just insane. On top of that, you add the passing ability, the creativity and the playmaking that he has. That's why I say sort of Fantilli light. I think that Fantilli has quicker feet. I think he's more sort of agile and elusive and quick with his edge work. But Carlson, I think, is the more powerful player of the two. And if you get Carlson at fourth overall, I mean, you're laughing. You've got a top line center, a bona fide.
Oh yeah, you take that and you run. Like,
yeah, 100%. And like, the worst case scenario with Carlson is that he becomes a second line center. Like, that's the worst case scenario for him. He's got such a high floor because of how certain his game is. He's so responsible defensively. There are some lackings. Sometimes he tends to sort of drag his feet in his own zone and sort of gets lost in coverage. But that's something that any player that's 18 will sort of have in their game as a lacking, unless they're sort of exceptional defensively and have already been playing for years in the pro league. Like you see, for example, in Adam Sikora, who I thought was the best defensive forward in last year's draft. He went 60 something overall to the New York Rangers. He's been playing pro since he was 15, and it shows. But I believe this is Carlson's first year in the SHL. And yes, he's going to have some kinks to iron out, but I mean, he, for me, is the third best center in this draft. There's no doubt about it. He is a notch above Zach Benson, a notch above any other guy you can name in this range. For me, after Bedard and Fantilli, the next center you think of is Leo Carlson. And there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he feels like, of the guys that we're talking about, he feels like the most likely to be a Blue Jacket on, you know, July 1st or whenever July 27th or whenever the draft is. I've never known what date anything is happening.
I honestly don't have it in front of me right now. I can't tell you. Like, and I'm a draft guy. I can't tell you. It's in Nashville. Who cares about Nashville?
Yeah, it's fine. let's talk about Zach Benson, actually, because he's another name that kind of has been, I feel like, creeping up there. And as I've kind of expanded my draft coverage, I follow Joel Henderson of Puck Preps, who's a big WHL guy, really knows what he's talking about. He's really high on Zach Benson. And he's that guy that is kind of feels like he's rounding out the top five. So what about Zach Benson means he can kind of hang with the other extremely good players in the top of this draft?
He is the two-way center from this draft, in my opinion. His defensive acumen is solid. He understands his responsibilities, understands his system, defends the rush really well, back checks hard. Pretty much all you want defensively from a center, he's got. He doesn't have the size, but he uses his body so well along the boards. He shields the puck extremely well. He's just so hard to knock off pucks. You add on top of that the fact that he's a tremendous, tremendous playmaker and probably the most intelligent player in this draft. I mean, I think he's neck and neck with Connor Bedard in terms of intelligence, in terms of hockey sense. The amount of advanced reads that he displays game in, game out, you know, almost effortlessly, is just outstanding. And for me, especially, it manifests itself in his playmaking because he has just so many passes in his arsenal, and he has the brain to understand which pass to pull out at the right time. Like, he'll play a saucer pass in the only maybe 1% of moments where I think a saucer pass is appropriate. I'm like, okay, this is a moment where he should saucer it. He saucers it. This is a moment where he should play an area pass. He plays an area pass. Slip pass, he plays one. He pulls out the right stops at the right time. And for me, that's just, it's something that if you can get it in the top five of this draft, I mean, you go for it. I don't think he's close enough to Leo Carlson, especially in terms of the overall skill set. I think that Carlson has a lot more of a projectable game. I don't like Benson's shot that much. He's still able to score, but I don't think he's going to score 30 in the NHL if he's going to be in the 20 to 30 range. Yeah, on top of that, the lack of physicality. I'm not really the type of guy to really worry too much about lack of size. I mean, I've got Gavin Brindley in my top 15. He's tiny. But like, it's just, I don't really think that he's at that level of pace of play, speed, and goal scoring that the other guys in the top five have. I think he's just a notch below, but he's still a really, really good two-way center for me. He's going to be probably the best defensive forward out of this draft.
For sure. So we've talked about kind of the consensus top five right now. I assume mm-hmm. that's going to change probably about 17 times between now and June. kind of what draft rankings.
That's just what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Is there any kind of, let's call them honorable mentions, guys that maybe could sneak into that top five, but are likely to probably be six, maybe seven?
Yeah. Andrew Kristol, for me, there's an argument to be made that he's the second best WHLer after Connor Bedard. I mean, I love Zach Benson. I still think he's a notch above, but I can definitely hear someone out if they tell me that Andrew Kristol is better. Kristol's the best playmaker in this draft. And I love Connor Bedard. I love Bedard's playmaking and vision. Kristol's the best playmaker in this draft. His ability to find pucks, to find passing lanes, to find pockets of space and exploit that playmaking ability. He anticipates his teammates' routes before his teammates know what they're doing. It's just amazing. Just great skill on the puck, great shot. Edward Chale for me as well, a Czech winger, I think has got really great upside in terms of his intelligence and his understanding of space in the offensive zone. There's a couple other guys. Dalibor Dvorsky is sort of in the conversation, but I think he's sort of out of it a bit as well. If you're picking 3 to 6, you're the Columbus Blue Jackets picking 3 to 6, I wouldn't consider Dvorsky. I think it's really between Carlson, Michkov, and Benson and Fantilli. Those are the four guys. Benson and Kristol, rather. Those are the four guys I would consider in that range. But other than that, I do want to give a quick shout out to Will Smith, who's not even at this World Juniors because he was sick during the training camp for USA. And they have a rule, which is if you don't play the training camp, you don't get an invitation to the actual roster for the World Juniors, no matter how good you are. But he, for me, is creeping into that conversation. And a new guy's just come out of nowhere for me is Axel Sandin Pelikka. I didn't see any defenders challenging for the top 10 this year, but he's changed my mind. I really like what I've seen from him. He's extremely mobile, extremely strong offensively. One of the best, if not the best, breakout defenseman in this class. Just never misses a breakout pass. So smart. And on top of that, his effort level in the defensive zone is great. His technique isn't all there defensively, but his effort level is always there. And you can always work on technique. So he might be the only defenseman in his draft with proper top pair upside. So yeah, those are the guys that mentioned in that conversation.
He was a guy that actually I was like, there's so many even really kind of looking at defensemen, but I was curious and I heard his name kind of popping up and then I saw Tony Farrar ranked, I think, 9th in his list. And I was like, oh, well, now I got to pay attention to this guy, because yeah, if Tony has him in the top 10, then probably there's a reason for that. But he's a guy that I think, while I don't think he's going to be a Blue Jacket, I think I'm really interested to see where he lands, because sometimes teams just decide that they need a defenseman and pick a defenseman like 4th overall despite anything else.
Yep. So the 2019 draft was exactly that for you, man. Like it was, I think it was what, Philip Broberg went in the top 10 or something like that. I mean, he's okay. He's not a top 10 pick in that draft. Same for Victor Soderstrom a year earlier. Like there were a lot of weird ones like that where you know, teams reached for defensemen real hard where they shouldn't have been. And it actually leads to a sort of domino effect where the other teams that are looking for a defenseman are like, okay, well, they reached for a defenseman, so we have to reach for a defenseman. And then you end up with...
Yeah, what do they know that we don't, you know?
Yeah, you know, and you end up with five or six defensemen in the top 20 who shouldn't be in the top 20. And it's just... NHL teams are weird. I'm not going to pretend to understand the thought process.
I'm always fascinated, and this is probably a whole other episode. I'm always fascinated by how they approach the draft. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would love to see, after the fact, I would love to see every NHL GM's, like, top 10 or top 20 or wherever they're picking, I would love to see them get released to see how they value prospects. Because I feel like this, specifically Carter Gauthier was very high on the Blue Jackets, and then he went fifth, so obviously they ended up taking Juracek, which I'm thrilled with. But there was a significant period of time where I was very worried that Juracek was going to go fifth, and the Blue Jackets were going to pick Carter Gauthier sixth, which he is a fine prospect. He's doing pretty well at the USA. I don't know that he would have been the best pick to make.
Yeah, no, I had Gauthier in my 12 to 15 range. Like, I love him. He's not a top five pick. And
he is tall, though, which, you know,
counts. That's all you need sometimes for the Flyers. Are you kidding me? You're tall and you can skate.
That's the other thing. I was like, oh, this guy, this is, especially like a John Tortorella coached Flyers team. Yeah. I was like, this is Carter Gauthier's entrance music, you know?
Exactly.
But, we can't get into the weird drafting of the 2021 draft, because otherwise we'll be here. Or the 22 draft, excuse me, because we'll be here forever. But if people do want more prospect talk, I assume it's going to be Draft Central basically as soon as World Juniors ends on Locked On NHL Prospect. So where can people find you and your show if they want to learn more about who their team might be getting in the draft?
Yeah, so the show's all over YouTube and all of your favorite podcasting platforms, Spotify, Odyssey, Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find us. Locked On NHL Prospects. You can't miss us. We're on Twitter as well at @LO_NHL Prospects. I'm on Twitter personally at @HattieK_Scouting. I've also got my own YouTube channel. I write some articles, but you can find all that at my Twitter. It's like your one-stop shop. Give us a follow. Check out the podcast. We've got great stuff all the time, especially right now during World Juniors. We're, I'm going through a lot of the games and making sure I stay updated on what's going on. I haven't watched the games today because recording a podcast, spending time with my SO, all that. But, you know, it is the holidays. I do need a break from time to time, right? So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, hockey cannot be everything, but
hockey stops for no one.
It should be at least someone's first listen of the day, which, like I said, Locked On NHL Prospect is always one of my first listens. You should make it yours as well. Big thanks to Hattie for coming to talk about Blue Jackets Prospect in the last episode, and also potential future Blue Jackets Prospect. We are definitely going to have Hattie back on the show as we really ramp up our draft coverage, because, like I said, the Blue Jackets aren't going to do much of anything else. We might as well look to the future. So that's going to be coming up on future episodes of Locked On Blue Jackets. But thanks for coming on the show, Hattie. I appreciate it.
No problem.
And that's all I've got for today. You can find me on Twitter at @_JacobFoster, JacobFoster. You can find the podcast at @LO_BlueJackets. If you have comments, questions, criticisms, you can email me at lockedonbluejackets@gmail.com. If you have any comments or questions, you can also leave them in the YouTube comments. That's where you can find this show. We're on YouTube. We're on every podcasting app of choice: Apple, Podbean, Stitcher, Odyssey, Spotify, all of the above and more that I can't even think of right now. Thank you once again for making us your first listen of the day, or your first watch of the day. 2023 is going to be a really exciting year, I think. So let's get into it, and let's start off by listening to Locked On Blue Jackets, because I appreciate it. It helps me out. It helps you out if you hit the subscribe button on YouTube, if you download, if you comment, if you follow on Twitter. All of these things is just super, super helpful to me, and I appreciate all of you. Tomorrow, we will be breaking down tonight's game against the Ottawa Senators, and hopefully breaking down a win. Because I feel like it's been a minute. Please disregard that if the Blue Jackets win against Chicago. I am recording this before that game. But hopefully at some point soon we will get to discuss a Blue Jackets win on this show. Thank you once again for listening. And until tomorrow, please make sure you stay locked on.